Mini episode 1817 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at Sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode 1817. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris coming at you today. You have with you two FDH Lounge original dignitaries with me here today to break down the 2025 NCAA Men's Basketball Championships. It's the director of research for FDH, Nate Noy, the one and only. And as per his title, he has gone through this frontwards, backwards, sidewards, all different types of ways. I think I invented a few words there, but he has gone through this like very, very, very thoroughly. I have my own thoughts. We're going to give you thoughts on how to fill out your brackets here, what to expect for the tournament, and a little bit of how we got here in the first place as far as decisions that the committee did and did not make. All that and much, much more with the great Nate Noy. So glad to get him back in, my good friend. Nate, thank you so much for being here today, my friend.
Well, I don't accept the great label, Rick. I can't do that one. But I have been immersed in the tournament very deeply for the last few days. Projected 29 out of 29 at-large teams correctly from the Power Four conferences this year. So I figured out exactly who they were going to take out of the Power Four. Missed two of the minor conferences, but we'll talk about that in a minute here when we look at the process that they use this year for the committee.
Well, and that means, of course, if you projected them right out of all of the power conferences, that you were one of what appears to be, at least in the media, a tiny handful that had North Carolina in here. So, again, a lot of times when you and I look at these type of matters, sometimes it's a little bit cynical. So, was it that whole kind of cynical showbiz thing that caused you to put them in the tournament, or a sense that they actually really belonged, notwithstanding not having a great year in a down ACC?
What, them being a blue blood, Rick, is what tipped the scale for me, because I said to myself, here, I analyze it like this. I looked at the historic use of the Power Five conferences in the tournament. How many bids do they give the Power Five? Because I'm a cynic. In my mind, this tournament's about making money. And yes, you make money with the Power Five schools. Now it's the Power Four, right? Mm-hmm. So that number the last 3 years was 31, 32, and 29.
Yep.
And you and I talked about it before the tournament, because what I do is I try to project the full bracket. And the first thing I have to answer to myself is, how many bids do the Power Four get? And I said to myself, how could they squeeze out the small conferences this year? And I looked at everything and I said, okay, 33 is the number. And I was right, 33 is the number. I missed on how they squeezed them. Historically, the last 3 years, what you have basically, there's only five conferences that are even a mid-major. And really, there's two that are a mid-major and three that are a minor major, and the rest of college basketball is a single big league. That's how it works. Unless you've got a ranked team get knocked off in your conference tournament, and the rest of college basketball is a single bid league. Mm-hmm. So what I basically saw was that the Big East and the Mountain West get 9 bids a year. That's how it works. And the last 3 tournaments, they had 28 total bids, 9.3 bids a year. They're getting 9. But I said to myself, okay, the Power Four average 31. 2 bids have to be stolen from the smaller schools. And I said, okay, 1 bid's getting stolen from this combination of the Mountain West and the Big East. I was wrong. They still got their 9. And then the other 3 schools, conferences, they get multiple bids are the Atlantic 10, the American, and the West Coast. The West Coast had 2 guaranteed. No way you're not getting those 2. The American came down to, if Memphis lost, they were getting 2. If Memphis won, they were getting 1. And I truly, firmly believe that the George Mason, VCU loser was still going to make this tournament. Those three conferences got 18 seeds spots over the last 3 years. That's six total for those three conferences. I never thought they were going to steal two of their bids away, but they did. They took away the A-10 second bid. They took away the American Conference's second bid. Now you have 24 single bid leagues. So where I missed was I thought that Marquette had eliminated Xavier from the tournament when they beat them in their conference tournament. I was wrong. Xavier made it as a play-in team. I thought that after Boise had beaten New Mexico, and then, first of all, they beat San Diego State. Then they turned around and beat the one seed New Mexico in the Mountain West Conference tournament, then lost to Colorado State. They absolutely eliminated San Diego State in that conference, and I was wrong because San Diego State took their bid. So where I was wrong was George Mason didn't get a bid. Xavier got that one, and San Diego State also stole the bid from Boise because the committee does not care at all about conference tournaments. You don't believe me? Ask Boise, ask Michigan, ask Louisville, and look at their seeds, what we just saw come out of this process.
Yeah, I mean, it does beg the question of whether they even paid attention over the course of the last week or so. I will say this, and you're somebody that I can say this to, and sometimes you can sort of follow my wavelength on things here because of us being of a similar age and everything like that. But we've spent so much time in the last year talking about year one of the college football, not just the playoff, the expanded one this year, but now the super conferences and everything that we saw with the college football season and how different it was and the novelty of all these matchups now being in conference. I don't feel like anybody really spent a lot of time talking about it for basketball, but when I was just looking at the scores and the matchups over the course of the last week, it really just sort of struck me, whether it be the West Coast teams that are now a part of the Big Ten, or the way that the Big 12 is just such a weird sort of mashup of teams all across the country. It sort of felt like you were getting a little bit of March Madness in the conference tournaments because it wasn't like, oh, okay, well, we're going to see Duke play Wake Forest and then it's in North Carolina State, and the winners are going to play. These conferences are so much bigger and wider, more expansive right now that you're getting matchups that are still a novelty in conference tournaments. I just felt like that was really kind of interesting and weird to see it play out because we're not used to seeing this. We're not used to seeing some of the, for example, the big West Coast teams in the Big Ten playing in the Big Ten championship.
Same goes for those ACC schools from California and State.
Yeah.
Like, what is this? You're absolutely right, Rick. It has a 10 years prior second round NCAA tournament feel within the conference tournament this
yes.
year. No question.
Yeah, it really kind of was that way. So any other thoughts that you have before we start looking at the bracket?
I just wanted to say that there's kind of like some principles I'd like to share that when you approach this bracket, if you're going with some theories or kind of strategies ahead of time before you fill out your bracket, specific to that season, of course, then you might have some advantages. So the ones I use this year, I always look at who was here last year, right? Mm-hmm. It matters. What did they do last year? Did they advance last year? Are you talking about teams in the Final Four last year? Are you talking about teams in the finals last year? If it's close, you probably go ahead and advance a team that was here before. Location matters. Location's huge. Some teams are playing at home in this tournament, and if it's close and somebody's at home, you advance a team that's at home. Again, it has to be close. For this season specifically, and this is something that I've known since obviously before even the calendar turned, this year, if it's close, you advance the SEC team.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's just what you do. It's close. Advance the SEC team. They just played the best schedule, the toughest conference, and they came out before the conference started. They were brutal, like 183-28. I mean, come on. Okay, the other two things I'll tell you a quick story, and then we'll jump into the bracket. On March 1st, I realized these last two things. One is the top seven teams in the country this year, in my mind, are way better than anybody else. It's NIL money. It's who the coaches are. It's a lot of factors. But case in point, March 1st. March 1st, I had a friend. There's a league. There's a a Discord that I'd be part of, that I'm part of sometimes. A guy named Brent Kelly runs it. It was part of a DFS company's. They had their own Discord and a game that we all played for free. That went down and we started our own Discord. Anyway, one of the guys on there is a prolific gambler, and he was betting on B1 Japanese Basketball League at 2 a.m. on March 1st. And wow. I said, what are you doing? Why aren't you playing some NCAA? Why would you play this stuff? And he's like, who do you like? I'm like, well, I like St. John's at 25-1 to win the title. And then he's like, well, what about for games tomorrow? And this is where I had these epiphanies this year. I said, well, Kentucky at home against Auburn, they ought to be able to play them tight. Well, that was wrong, Rick. They got whacked by 16 points. And then in the SEC tournament, Alabama whacked them by 29. Kentucky's on the 3 line, Rick. They're a 3 seed. They're one of the top 12 to 16 teams in the country, but they're nowhere close as good as Auburn or Alabama at this point, or Tennessee or Florida. And that's the thing about that gap, is when I saw Kentucky just get creamed by Auburn, I'm like, yeah, there's a gap here this year with these elite. The other thing I told the guy to do, that was the week that Maryland got beat at the buzzer on a half-court shot by Sparty. And I said, Maryland's playing Penn State, who went 4-16 in the Big Ten this year and finished next last. I said, Maryland will kill Penn State. Might beat them by 30. Crush them. But he's like, I'm like, play that extra line at 11.5. And he did. He got beat because Maryland almost lost that game to Penn State. They struggled. They were losing half that game. They never covered the point spread. They never were ahead of the point spread. They struggled. And I said to myself, wow, if this Maryland team can't rebound from that Michigan State team, that's not just a statement about Maryland because they're playing a really poor basketball team. That's a statement about the Big Ten. And I think the Big Ten is soft this year. So when in doubt, don't pick the Big Ten. I have three other teams in a Sweet 16 because you can't not pick them to make it somewhere. And that's it. No Big Ten teams Elite Eight for me this year. But now I'm ready to jump right into the brackets with you.
Well, here's a teaser that when we get to the West region, we will be talking about Maryland. And you're going to find my thoughts very, very interesting. I love it. I love it. That is going to be extra fun. But starting in the South region, we always kind of go the way one would normally read a bracket here. So we'll start with that one there where you've got Auburn as the top overall seed. That means that Sparty as the number 2 seed in the region is the 8 overall, according to the tournament and the committee that put it together. And this is one where there was one of the blurbs I think I read on CBS Sports made an interesting point about that Auburn, as far as matchups and the ability to kind of, you know, play the type of game that they need to play to advance. This is a thing where, again, you look at obviously Louisville probably looming in the second round, a horribly underseeded team. And then, you know, potentially Michigan, the Big Ten tournament champs, looming potentially after that if they make it that far. Or Texas A&M, who I think is pretty tough. But if you just look at it, The critique was that the path that Auburn has isn't necessarily as hard as you would think it is because of their ability to adapt to the types of teams that they're going to be playing in the region. I thought that was an intriguing way to look at it.
Well, that is a way to look at it, but to have to face the number 10 team in the country in their home state in the second round of the tournament is unbelievable, Rick. We've never seen anything like it in the history of this entire tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Now, to what degree do you think that's going to handcuff them coming out of the region?
I think it hurts them a little bit. I mean, I think they'll have to play a harder game than you'd expect in the second round for the number 1 overall seed. And I think that brings me to something else I just want to briefly mention. We're in an age where people do more than one bracket. If you're going to do an alternative bracket, that's a nice little second round upset that not many people are going to try. Mm-hmm. To definitely have a chance.
Yeah. I mean, that's one right there. Yeah, I mean, there will be a lot of money, I'm sure, that goes on Louisville in that matchup there. Because, yeah, I mean, that's one where you look at it and you could make a very, very strong case that not just should that be a Sweet 16 matchup, but potentially even an Elite Eight matchup. You could potentially make the case for that, and it's coming 2 rounds early for it to be that. You've got Michigan State on the bottom half of the bracket, who I'm very suspicious of, because again, they are grading against the curve of top teams. They're a crappy 3-point shooting team, and I just can't see that not coming back to bite them this time of year. But any of the teams that I look at them playing as they advance towards the Elite Eight, I just can't see anybody exploiting that. I don't think they're going to be playing anybody that's good enough at the threes to be able to beat them in that way. So I've got it being Auburn and Michigan State in the Elite Eight. I've got it being the chalk at that point there. And I have even further with the chalkiness, I've got Auburn advancing past Michigan State to get to the Final Four.
Well, here's my thought on that, Rick. Again, using my principles, I take Auburn, obviously, Louisville at home. I advance Auburn because they're one of my seven that I said would advance. Michigan is only a 2.5-point favorite. The line there is tight. I still like Michigan in that one. A&M, obviously. I think Mississippi wins the 6-11 game here. I also think that at least 1-11 win the game. Mm-hmm. So that means I'm going to be picking the other one. But Mississippi and then Iowa State, obviously. But then I like Mississippi to beat Iowa State.
Yes.
I like New Mexico to pull a little upset there in Cleveland. I wish I could pick New Mexico over Sparty, but I think Sparty's too strong and they make it out of there. But now if we're talking about Mississippi and Sparty in Atlanta, Georgia, Rick, I like Mississippi.
Uh-huh.
I think that, you know, it'll be half Auburn fans and it'll be half Mississippi fans. I mean, if A&M's there, they'll have some too. But the Mississippi's going to pack that place in Atlanta. And Sparty's going to be in trouble. That's going to be a hostile environment. Three quarters of my final of my teams there, I got Auburn versus A&M and Mississippi versus Sparty. You don't think the SEC teams are going to root for each other instead of Sparty?
Yeah.
Of course they are. That's a road environment for Sparty. I think they lose to Mississippi, and then I think Auburn makes the Final Four by beating Mississippi. Let me move on to the next bracket now. So I got Auburn coming.
Okay. All right. In the West, you've got Florida on the top line in the other bracket, St. John's as the number two. And this is one where, again, I did see one bracket on CBS Sports that agreed with me on this matchup. There were probably another three or four brackets that thought this matchup would happen and picked against what I think is going to happen. But I'm looking at it again, and I'm trying not to be unduly influenced by the three-point shooting, but I am looking at that sometimes as a little bit of a tiebreaker there. And you've got Florida 83rd in the country, Maryland 33rd in the country, and having a starting five, I think, that is very, very strong. I mean, they may not go too much past the starting five, but what Maryland's got there, their ability to compete on any given night, and the fact that, again, they've only really lost on, very, very close type games during the season here. Nobody has really beaten them solidly through the course of the season. I think Maryland pulls the upset. I've got them on the top line of the bracket in the Elite Eight, and then on the bottom half of the bracket, Elite Eight, I'm going to go Texas Tech. I think they're going to get past St. John's, Maryland, Texas Tech. So this is as non-chalk as I'm going in any bracket, and I'm going to say Maryland wins, and Maryland is going to be my big outlier. Number four seed Maryland. In a normal year, you wouldn't think it's weird to pick a four seed, and this year, for all the reasons you've outlined, it is, but that's where I'm going out on a limb, Maryland, to make it to the Final Four.
Yeah, this is the point where people listening are like, how these two dudes end up on the same show?
Yeah. Go ahead and tell me why I'm wrong.
No, I'm not going to tell you why you're wrong. Again, this is a tournament where there's coin flips and ripple effects, and it's always worth taking a chance on things like that. Something like that could easily happen. And then, like I said, like back up at that Auburn thing, if you pick Louisville to take out Auburn, all of a sudden you're looking at A&M versus Mississippi in Atlanta. Which one do you like more? All of a sudden, if you take out Auburn in the second round, you might put Mississippi into the Final Four.
Right.
You know, so there's a ripple effect with every pick you make. So I don't have anything to say negative about yours. I'll just tell you mine and where your slip-ups might be, where your landmines could be potentially. Like in Wichita, Kansas, when Missouri has three-quarters of the freaking stadium filled and Texas Tech's playing a road game in the second round. I like Missouri. You know, again, I look at location, and if it's close, and Missouri's the SEC team in this situation. So, again, the way I built my bracket, I advanced the SEC team if possible in a close matchup. To me, that's a close matchup at home, you know. So I took Florida. I like Oklahoma, again, the SEC team. I really like Memphis, Rick. I like Memphis to beat Maryland. I know the Hunter kid is out right now for Penny, but he says he's going to come back. And I think Memphis got a really bad deal here at the 5 seed in this bracket. And I got Memphis in the Sweet 16. Then, obviously, I got Maryland making it past. I've got Maryland winning their first game, but then losing to Mississippi, Memphis. I mean, Missouri to win in Wichita twice. Arkansas to definitely give us the former Kentucky head coach matchup in the second round in Providence, but Patino is the one that's winning that one.
Yep.
And when we get to the next round, I think Florida's too good, too strong, too deep, and they beat Memphis. But I really like St. John's, Rick. I like St. John's to make the Final Four. I think that Patino's coaching, the three-point shooting, like you already alluded to, their weakness, their exposure against Missouri. We think their exposure is against St. John's. They can shoot the three. So I've got St. John's making the Final Four out of this bracket.
Okay, interesting. All right, so we agree on Auburn, which is not so hard to agree on. Disagree in the West. In the East, Duke is on the top line here. And the bottom of the bracket, it is Alabama on the number two line, and they're a team that is a little bit kind of vulnerable based on how they've played recently, based on what their health is. So I see this as an opportunity for somebody to sort of come through the weeds here in the bracket. I've got Duke, unsurprisingly, making it all the way to the Elite Eight. I need a sleeper team to come out of the bottom eight here, and you're looking at some of the teams that could possibly do that. I've settled on, and this is a team, and again, there are some folks picking VCU to win in the first round. If they do, I'm screwed, because I'm picking number six Brigham Young to make it all the way to the Elite Eight. I think they're going to take out Alabama. I've got St. Mary's making a pretty good run to the Sweet 16, round of 32, I guess. That's not much of a run, but BYU versus Duke in the Elite Eight, and that's where I'm not looking for the upset. Duke to go to the Final Four.
I think I picked VCU in the first round.
I love it.
I mean, they're the A-10 team. That their conference just got shafted out of its extra bid. You know, that extra motivation thing I kind of thought BYU looked a little softer than their ranking. I did project them at the 6. They got the 6. The 6-11s is sometimes where you find them. I mean, the line on that one's 3.5, so it's going to be a close game either way. It should be exciting. I definitely have Duke again, Mississippi State, the SEC team, Oregon and Arizona, VCU with the upset, Wisconsin, Vandy, and Bama. Again, advance Vandy because they're the SEC team. That's another little upset. Oregon to absolutely make the Sweet 16. That game's in Seattle. You know, Arizona might have been hot the last few weeks, but guess what? They're not going to beat Oregon and Seattle. It's a location situation. Oregon gets a home game, so you advance Oregon there. Wisconsin, I advance to play Bama. And then again, as Bama's too good, they'll beat Wisconsin, and I think the Dukies will absolutely roll to the Final Four. They're way too good. Even better than Bama good. They're just that much better.
Here's a funny one. As you're looking past the 5-12 of Oregon and Liberty to the Oregon-Arizona game, the cliche of the 12-5 upset. I have Liberty actually taking out Oregon in the first round.
You got Liberty. They don't get to win twice in Seattle. They lose once in Seattle. Go back to Oregon, guys.
Yeah. So that's kind of funny. So we take radically different paths to get there, but we both have Duke in the Final Four. And then in the bottom half of the bracket, this is the one where it is pretty much the chalkiest to me. I'm not seeing too many quote-unquote expert brackets out there that don't have number one Houston versus number two Tennessee in the Elite Eight. And I have a hard time seeing it be anything other than that. And again, when you're looking at the teams in there, the fact that Kentucky is number three and would be set up to play Tennessee here not too long down the road if they both advance. There is, as you pointed out, a real gap between Tennessee and Kentucky. Although for me as a Vols fan, I just, and it's the same thing I said before watching them play Florida. Like, to me, I've just got this gut feeling about Tennessee versus other teams on quote-unquote the same tier that they're on. And I've got them a little bit back of that tier. So I've got Houston, regrettably in my mind, taking out Tennessee to make it to the Final Four. And I will say that Houston and Auburn, I think, are the teams that are I'm seeing most represented in the Final Four. Maybe Auburn and Duke is a close call, but I'm seeing more brackets with Houston coming out of the Midwest region. I mean, it seems to be just vastly, vastly disproportionate, even for a number one seed.
You know, it's funny, Rick, because I've got the exact same matchup. And yes, both of those teams in my own Final Four. Just to note, I don't have either of those teams in the finals. And this is why. I look at their path and I look to see who has the biggest exposure, who plays a road game somewhere where they could get beat. Where if I pick this team to make the finals, if they lost in that exposure game, I've already been eliminated. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
But if I don't pick them to make the finals and they get beat, if as long as I get the finals right, maybe I'm still alive and whatever. So I saw, again the exposure that Auburn has in Lexington against a number 10 team in a potential road game. Same exposure I feel for Houston. I don't not pick them to make the Final Four. I do pick them to make the Final Four, but I don't pick them to make the finals because they could lose an Indy to Purdue. It could happen. It wouldn't be the biggest shock on the planet Earth for the team that was in the national championship game last year to actually make it back out of the into the Final Four. It could happen, you know, to sure. win in that elite game at home. But again, that's why I got Houston with that little bump to the Final Four, because they were in the Final Four last year. I think they're slightly better than Tennessee. They've been there, even though this is an SEC team. My whole theory on this season, advance the SEC teams to the Elite Eight. Once you get the Elite Eight, you can't say that anymore. You've already played two rounds of tournament. It's a brand new season. We've only got three games left. So just real quick to finish out that bracket again, I got Georgia with the minor upset in the first round, advance the SEC team, Clemson and Purdue winning. I got Texas beating Kentucky, Rick. And here's the thing, the play-in games matter. And if Xavier were to beat Texas, then I wouldn't have Kentucky losing to Xavier. I would switch my bracket, which I can still do until tip-off of the game, and make Kentucky lose to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. But I really think that Texas, again, an 11 seed, has made at least one game in seven straight years, has won at least two games three of those 7 years. An 11 seed in a play-in game is always coming out hot. So I like Texas to move past Kentucky, make the Sweet 16. But if it's Xavier, I just like them to beat Illinois. Finally, UCLA to win a game. But then, like you said, Tennessee to roll all over Texas, and Houston to somehow get out of it. Houston was too good. They'll get by Purdue and Indy, and Houston is too good. They'll make it back to San Antonio. But even though they're in San Antonio, I'm not picking them to make the finals.
It's an interesting way of looking at the bracket, and I'm completely unsurprised that you would have this kind of cerebral approach on this here as far as trying to game out. You don't want to pick a champion who might fly a little bit too close to the sun along the way. My approach is pretty much, I think, more standard of just like I look at the Final Four and I go with what I think would happen with the matchups here. But you do give us something interesting to think about in that regard. As far as the Final Four, Auburn and Maryland, clearly that will be the early game because the ratings whores doing the scheduling here are going to put Duke in the late game, obviously. But Auburn over Maryland in a game that I think will be competitive for part of the game, maybe not necessarily all the way through. Auburn advances to the national championship. Bruce Pearl gets further along with Auburn than he did in 2019 with his Final Four team. On the other side of the bracket, Houston versus Duke. I've got it being Houston. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. This is the best team that Calvin Sampson has had at Houston and maybe ever. The best balanced team. A final matchup of Houston and Auburn, and for me, it's going to be the echoes of Phi Slamma Jamma here. Houston wins the national championship over Auburn. You heard it here first.
They're in San Antonio, Rick. It's a solid pick. It's so funny because I have Auburn playing Patino, and Patino making it to the finals, and I have Duke just... Duke's too good. I don't think Duke's going to get beat, Rick. I have Duke cutting down the nets. They were able to win that ACC title with those last two games without their superstar, and they weren't playing chumps. That Louisville team's good. Auburn might find that out themselves. But I I'm not a Duke fan. I hate Duke.
Yeah,
you know,
me too.
And I just told somebody on March 1st to take St. John's to win the tournament. So I'm still kind of attracted to what Patino brings with that squad. He had this whole tournament, Rick, is about coaching. It's the most important thing about the tournament. It's way more important than and the players themselves. And the coaches have been there, done that before, and cut down nets matter. And Rick Pitino is the only guy to ever do it twice with two different schools, two for two different schools. So I like him to make the finals against Duke, and Duke to cut down the nets.
Okay, so you're saying Duke over St. John's in the final, and I am saying Houston over Auburn. So either one of those games would be tremendous to watch. I loathe Duke, but also Pitino. So boy, that, I'd actually have to root.
Happy at all with that one? Again, I had Auburn and Houston in the Final Four losing. You have Auburn and Houston in the Final Four winning.
Yeah. So we're somewhat kind of close on our picks here, but. That's what made the discussion here really great, is you're getting different kind of schools of thought, a nice kind of a blend between me and you, as per always. So very much appreciated, Nate Noy. Any other thoughts of yours we didn't get to yet?
No, I think we covered everything, Rick. It's going to be an exciting tournament. Like I said, I'm a Big Ten fan, but I only have three Big Ten teams in the Sweet 16, and I have none in the Elite Eight. And I think that's realistic. I just don't think the Big Ten this season was on par with what the SEC brought. I don't know if we'll ever see another season like this for a conference like this. I'm not sure. The NIL era has changed things. The smaller conferences absolutely no longer have any kind of advantage. If a player's good enough to get a payday at a big school, he's gone.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? If he's good enough to get a payday at if he gets a small school and he's good enough to get a payday at a big school, he's there for 1 year and he's gone. That's how this now works. And so the gap will continue to grow. We may see the committee squeeze those small conferences down even more as time advances. You get it up to 34 or 35 at some point, especially if you start harvesting out things like Big East and A-10. Big East schools start jumping over. Mountain West schools start coming over. Just squeeze a couple more of those for the basketball purposes, and all of a sudden – you might have, 27 single-bid leagues in 10, 15 years. Yeah. Obviously, we'll never get to that point, but you could certainly have 25 single-bid leagues where only, literally six leagues get multiple bids and the other 25 get one. That's how this works.
Yeah, it could happen. That would put it much more like the college football model as far as how top-heavy it is. But, something to keep a look at as we go along with the continuing evolution of this. And as we said at the outset here, year one of the system with the mega conference expansion as it affects March Madness and the NCAA tournament. We heard so much more about it with college football and college basketball, but it matters disproportionately in college hoops as well, as we've seen here. Many thanks to you, Nate Noy, FDH Director of Research and FDH Original Dignitary, along with yours truly, Rick Morris. So thank you so much, Nate Noy, and thank you everybody for checking out our 2025 NCAA basketball tournament preview.